It's your health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. I love food and I love getting recipe books filled with healthy, quick, and easy recipes. And joining us today to talk about her wonderful new book, Getting Fit with Food, 101 Healthy Eating Recipes, is Shana Lee Conrad. Shana has a passion and drive that defines everything she does. Shana has been a fitness instructor, weight loss consultant, teacher, educator, and psychologist for more than 10 years. Past experiences include founding partner of Ellipse Fitness, Ellipse Management Company, co-founder LiveWell Yoga, prenatal coach, yoga instructor, bodybuilding competitor, and personal trainer for Kristen Steed, a contestant on season 7 of NBC's The Biggest Loser. Getting Fit with Food is Shana's first healthy, motivational, and inspirational cookbook, but most certainly won't be her last. Shana, welcome to the show. I'm so glad to have you on It's Your Health.
Hi, thank you so much. I am very, very glad to be on It's Your Health.
Yeah, I love your book. The recipes are delicious. I made a bunch of them. The colors, they just pop. And like I said in the introduction, I love to eat. And I am all about whole foods. And what I love is, in Getting Fit with Food, is you write about the first question that someone should ask themselves is, how close to natural is this food? And if you can talk about that and why that's important to you.
Oh, I would love to. I also love to eat. And, you know, since my life in the fitness industry began, and I think actually since sooner than that, I mean, I remember when I was a little girl helping my mom make supper, and pretty soon I would have a note on what I needed to do to help make supper. And pretty soon I wouldn't even look at the note, and I would just do whatever I wanted to and kind of help her make, you know, make supper, and loved it. I had such a great time. But once the fitness side of my life started growing and the health side even more as I got a little older, I realized that I didn't want to eat those cliche things. I didn't want to have plain chicken breast and spinach and rice cakes and say that that's what I needed to do to be healthy. And I also love to eat. And to be able to eat food, normal amounts of food, and to be able to cook and enjoy that time in the kitchen and still be healthy and fit it's an amazing feeling, and I think it's sometimes something that people are confused on. You know, they think healthy has to be plain and boring, and tasty and healthy don't go together. But if you can find more natural ingredients, and whether that means organic or lower preservative to you as a shopper, you know, look at your choices in front of you. Don't grab the one that says low fat or quote unquote healthy choice. Look at the choices in front of you and determine the healthiest choice, because you're, you know, informed on what to look for.
Yeah, it's true. And that's a good thing, too, with your book is in the beginning, you actually talk about, I mentioned you talk about the having the whole foods. You talk about carb labels, carb basics, serving sizes, which proteins to eat. You have such a variety. For example, you have some wonderful breakfasts. I love the eggs and potatoes O'Brien skillet. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, thank you.
I love eggs and potatoes. And I also really love the chicken sausage frittata. That is delicious. I love chicken sausages and turkey sausages. And how did you come up with these recipes, Shana? What was that like?
I just enjoy it. I guess the only thing I could compare it to is being an artist, possibly, and having a blank canvas and a bunch of paint next to you. I would go to the grocery store and just wander, and sometimes it would take me a very long time, and just start to pick out things that moved me or kind of made me feel creative or curious, and then I went home with them and found places for them in my recipes. I wrote the chapter titles first, so that I had a little bit of direction. And from there, it was just, I mean, I write in the moment. I don't write recipes and then make them the next day for the book. I write the recipe while I'm cooking it. I photograph the recipe after I'm finished. And no one has still tried it. So first I write it and cook it, and then I photograph it. And then after all of that, I have people eat it. Because even if I need to tweak, say, the seasonings or the herbs or whatever it is slightly, maybe add a little bit more protein to the recipe so that based on the serving sizes, I'm happier. The picture is still good. And because I took all the photos myself, I needed to make sure that I could get those pictures before I tweaked anything.
Well, the pictures are beautiful. I'm so hungry looking at this book. It's funny. A lot of people assume when you're health conscious that you don't eat meat, but I'm really big into the Paleolithic diet, which is eating a lot of grass-fed beef and, you know, chickens raised in a more humane way, and a lot of vegetables and fruits and stuff. And your steak and grilled veggie salad is delicious. And
Thank you.
There's so many things. And then I think for folks who do like to eat more pastas and rices and things, you do have some great recipes for that. I'm also a sweet potato fanatic, and I love the sweet potato soup as well. Now, how many people did you have try your recipes out?
I had at least 5 people try every recipe because so many people have different things they like and different comments and different palates that it was really good to get kind of a diverse view on things as opposed to just my husband and I trying them. And then, I mean, I know what he likes and I know what I like, and so obviously we're going to like it, but what if, you know, other people don't like it? So my mom isn't as into spicy foods as I might be, and I had her taste everything, and, you know, neighbors and friends that were over, and I mean, I wrote recipes in other people's kitchens sometimes too because we were entertaining or over at someone's for dinner, and I kind of took charge and made some things and got to see what other people thought of them before they made it into the book.
Oh, that's great. Now, you mentioned, or I mentioned in the introduction, that you were one of the founders of Ellipse Fitness. Where does fitness tie into all of this? With obviously you can eat to get fit, but you also need to exercise as well.
Yes. You know, 10 years in the fitness industry, and I spent probably half of my time talking about food with people and half of my time teaching people how to exercise, you know, or plan out workout programs for them. And it took me that long to realize that the food side of it was way more interesting to me. But if you ask anyone in the health field, whether you're looking to change the results from your doctor's appointment, to change the number on the scale, or truly just to feel better, you know, live a more enjoyable lifestyle, play with your grandkids or your children, or whatever the case is, they're going to tell you that about 80% of reaching that goal is food, and 20% is exercise. If you're in the gym for an hour a day, you still have 23 hours of that day that you're making choices on what to do with what you're putting into your body. You know, whether it's the lotions you put on your skin or the air you breathe or the food you eat, what you put inside is definitely stronger in getting that end result. And so I wanted to write a book about food, and I wanted to write a book about how to get fit and healthy with it, because it's the biggest component of that goal that everyone in the world seems to struggle with every day.
Yeah, I think that makes so much sense. And the other part too is, what's so great about your book is that the things, and you mentioned this earlier, is everything can be tasty and is tasty. And I think when people just limit themselves to plain chicken and broccoli or something, then they're going to fall off the wagon, of course. And that's not going to be a lifestyle change, right? And I think diets are terrible.
Yeah.
You have to have the lifestyle change.
Well, and diets and resolutions, all of those things, we do those things with the intention of quitting them. Who has a resolution for the rest of their life? They make it in January, they keep it until February or March or, God willing, June maybe, and then it's finished. When you go on a diet, there's a reason you say that. You're intending to eventually go off of it. And we have to make choices every day, health-conscious choices, or the other way, knowing that there are choices and that we're responsible and that it's a lifestyle change and it's a process. And it's going to go on forever and ever.
Yeah, that's true. Now, are you still personal training at this time?
I am not. This is all I'm doing.
Wow, that's great.
So all I'm doing is... Thank you. Yeah, I took a big switch in my gears, but, you know, I support Ellipse with everything I have. It's a phenomenal business and a great franchise, but my passion and my drive right now is definitely onto the food side of things.
Oh, that is terrific. Now, I know I also mentioned Kristen Steed, and she's a wonderful gal,
yeah.
And I've had the pleasure of interviewing her, and I got to, you know, meeting her and everything, and that must have been really fun being involved. You know, I interview a lot of folks from The Biggest Loser, and, you know, it's funny, though, I have to say, and I'm always honest about this, even with the folks who come on the show, that the problem that I have with that show is, number one, I wish they would show more of the food side, right? Because they just show, I mean, who's going to work out 8 hours a day, right? And then the other issue that I have is,
make it more...
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I just was going to say, make it more of an education. You know, yeah, we can watch them exercise, but they're missing out on an opportunity to begin to teach people at home what to do with themselves. I agree with you completely that they should have more food involved in it.
Yeah, and the other part, I think, is I don't feel like they deal with the emotional side of things enough. I recently interviewed a really wonderful man named Brian T. Donovan. He was on a show called Fintervention with Jackie Warner. I don't know if you're familiar. It's on Bravo. And what they did is they had to stay in their own lives. They all wanted to try to lose weight. They had to stay in their own lives. There was a lot of focus on food and education, and they all had to go to group therapy. And I thought that was awesome. You know, I think that's really what is essential is you've got, and I mentioned too in the introduction that you've You're a psychologist, is that correct? Or you work with people in that realm as well, looking at emotional issues. Yeah. Have you done that surrounding food?
Completely. It's the reason that we eat a lot of the time. And, you know, it's that vicious cycle of, oh, I think I want it, and then you eat it, and then you feel bad about it, and then you think, forget it the rest of the day, I'll start tomorrow, or I'll start Monday, and, you know, people saying things like, well, you know, I couldn't help myself, or I didn't have any other options, or it was an involuntary thing. You know, I just ate them, and I didn't even think about it. But that's not true. I mean, you have, from the moment you open the bag and put your hand in the bag and put the food into your mouth, you have all kinds of opportunities to stop. But it's about why you're not stopping and why you don't feel like you have control over your life, period. You know, it's amazing when we do make a good choice how much easier making that next good choice can be, because, you know, we build on our confidence and we build on our internal strength.
Yeah, that is so true. Now, what have you found with some folks that you've worked with? What kind of issues come up for them around food, and what ways have you seen them succeed in terms of not using food emotionally?
I think that self-consciousness issues are huge. I think that once a person begins to put on weight and they feel uncomfortable and they feel uneasy and they wear bigger clothes or whatever the case is, that it's a spiral downward from there unless they find someone that can help them get control again. I talk about control and choices all the time. Those are two of my favorite words because it's kind of what everything revolves around, if you ask me.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think that once they begin to have that cycle starting and they feel uncomfortable, you know, what's wearing those same pants again? What's staying in the house now? I'm already sad about it. You know, it starts to matter less and less and in a different way because you think, I'm too far gone. I've never been 30 pounds overweight. I've never been 40 pounds overweight. I've never been 50 pounds overweight. It's too much. I can't. How do I fix this now? Losing 5 pounds is one thing. Losing 50, losing 100, some of these programs, 300 pounds, I mean, that's a life almost. I mean, that's another person.
Oh, yeah.
That's a journey of a year, 2 years, 3 years. And when a person looks at that and thinks, okay, for the next year, I have to try to lose weight, how overwhelming would that be to you? I've never been in that position, and I can't imagine how that would feel. I can't even imagine thinking, you know, a vacation or something you're even looking forward to being that far away is challenging to stay patient for.
Oh,
let alone staying patient when it's a negative struggle or, you know, trying to make it positive. It's just, it's crazy. But once they have a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it's such a building kind of thing. And they realize, I don't need this for that. I don't really like that food that much. Or I enjoy having, you know, let's say 14 clean days, okay? Clean being, and that can mean a lot of things for a lot of people. If you go from eating hamburgers every day to eating lunch meat every day, I mean, that's a very big improvement. But ultimately, we'd like to go past that point even. So let's say we have 14 clean days, and I say on day 15, you can eat whatever you want. You're going to feel a whole lot differently about some foods that you used to think you enjoyed than you ever have, because you're finally going to have an honest reaction. You're going to feel your hands swelling. You're going to feel your stomach uncomfortable. You're going to spend a lot of time in the bathroom the next day. And those are foods that you used to think made you feel comfort.
Yes, exactly.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. When you take the foods away, and then you add them back in, and then you realize how crummy they're actually making you feel. And then you're right, that's going to help.
What do we call them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we call them comfort foods.
Yeah, I mean, I know. That's brilliant. I never thought before. How comforting are they? Yeah, wow. Like in the moment, the mouthfeel maybe, but not the after effects, that's for sure.
Right, and the swallow. I mean, it's like the taste, but the second you swallow, it's not comfort, that's for sure.
Yeah, that is. Oh my gosh, God, I didn't even think about that. Well, speaking of, let's talk about some comfort food that is good for the holidays, because Thanksgiving is next week. I can't believe it. Oh my gosh, this year has flown by so quickly. What recipes in the book do you think would be nice accompaniments, maybe some salads or some other dishes? And, you know, I always think it'd be fun to steer away from turkey. I mean, it always ends up the same with the turkey and the mashed potatoes and the stuffing and everything's so heavy. you know, maybe just some turkey and maybe a nice vegetable dish, a light salad, some healthy whole grain, you know, maybe stuffing or rice. You know what I mean?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, earlier you said, I'd love to talk about this, but I do want to mention something too. You said how, you know, there are a lot of grain dishes and rice dishes and other things like that in the book. Anyone who has any sort of special eating desires, there are 53 gluten-free recipes in this cookbook.
Yes, that is
true. Are numerous vegetarian recipes in this book. And if you take eggs or cottage cheese or certain things away from a whole lot of other recipes, they can become vegetarian also. If we have vegetarians out there who still eat eggs or still eat chicken or whatever, then it's very easy to find recipes in this book. But even vegetarians that are the real deal are going to find a whole lot of options. And even the low-carb options are kind of bulleted out in the back, on the back page. The index is a little different. And so it's very easy for people who need different things to find those things, whether you're diabetic or, you know, a heart patient that's recovering. This book is perfect for people like that. It's perfect for anyone that wants to become more health conscious or more healthy in their life and has special dietary concerns or needs. And that's very important because that was something I did very consciously.
Yeah, you know what would make a great appetizer is a cucumber and onion stuffed tomatoes. I love Roma tomatoes. Wouldn't that be nice? And it's got the dried cranberries, which is very Thanksgiving-ish, right?
Very Thanksgiving-ish. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
And you've got the maple glazed garlic carrots, too, on the page next to it. Wow.
Those are fantastic. Real, real, real simple, but a great side. I did a green bean and asparagus casserole as opposed to just a green bean casserole. A little bit more green vegetables, a little more vitamins, antioxidants, things like that. Asparagus is just a rock star food. So I think that would be a wonderful option. Like you said earlier, the sweet potato soup. There's also the cinnamon sweets. Those are wonderful. It's raisins and sweet potatoes with a little bit of maple syrup on it. They're fantastic. Lots of salads. Almost every recipe in the mushroom chapter would be appropriate for this fall time of year. Mushrooms are completely earthy and fall-like, if you ask me.
Oh, I love mushrooms.
I think they would fit real well.
Oh, yeah. They would. And I love that. I mean, you have earthy option. The bird's a word. Feeling fishy. I mean,
it's, you love my chapter title.
They're spectacular spuds. Yeah, they're just adorable. That must have been fun coming up with those.
It was great. And I had a person who bought the book, went home, and read all of the areas where it's more, you know, content. Mm-hmm. She read the introduction. She read all of the little Shayna Says areas. And she said, I feel like I got to know you in reading the book. And I think that my editor, Maria Turner, is so fantastic. And she did such a wonderful job of editing my words without changing them so much that my personality was lost. And I think that that's huge, too. I mean, even the chapter titles, she said, you know, we had a bunch of them figured out, and I took a whole day, and I rewrote all of them. I mean, same theme, same idea, but I just added something a little funny or goofy or, I mean, there are a few recipes that the name of the recipe is even funny to me. Like, I did mushroom stuffed mushrooms, which is just silly. I mean, when would you ever, you wouldn't do a tomato stuffed tomato. You wouldn't, it's funny, but it's okay if no one picks up on it as long as I think it's cute. And even my next book, I'm doing 102 healthy recipes. And so every book I write, I'll do one more because I just think it's another little quirky thing that I think is cute.
Well, you have a great personality and it definitely comes through. And I highly recommend people getting fit with food, Shayna Lee Conrad. It's really fantastic. So Shayna, tell us how people can learn more about you and your terrific work.
My Facebook page for the book is by far the best just because I'm there more often. The web address is getfitwithfood.com. For the most part, that's going to be someplace that a person would go to just order the book. But friending Getting Fit with Food on Facebook or friending me on Facebook is great. And nowadays, I mean, I think that's kind of the main thing a lot of people are doing because you get chit-chat between other people who know me or who have the book as well as my chit-chat, which could educate and inform someone a little bit more on me right away. Watch for the next book, I guess.
We'll have to get you back on, definitely, for 102.
I would love to. That's right, exactly.
So what are you making for your Thanksgiving meal? Or are you doing the cooking, I'm guessing? Or are you getting a break?
No, I'm not. Yeah, for Christmas, my mom and my sister and I do the whole thing at my mom and dad's house. But for Thanksgiving, it's very, very, very classic. I mean, we go to my grandmother's house still. She still makes most of the food. If anyone's going to bring something, it's going to be her children, not me yet, which is cool. And then my husband and his mom and dad still do Thanksgiving. And so Thanksgiving is a little bit more
traditional.
The traditional scents for us. Christmas, and we make random things. We make funny things. My mom thought it would be cool this year to do recipes from the book with the family for Christmas.
Fun.
And I just thought that was so sweet. So it will be fun. Yeah, I love entertaining. It's one of my favorite things. The look on someone's face when they eat something that you made and they feel satisfied or they feel happy, it's something special for me. It makes me happy too.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, I'm so glad you came on. And if people want to learn more about It's Your Health, they can go to itsyourhealthnetwork.com. You can watch It's Your Health TV, listen to audio archives. You can listen to It's Your Health every Thursday at 9:30, from 9:30 to 10:30. There's usually 2 to 3 shows. And there you can click on the homepage on WUML on my website and lots of good stuff. So everyone have a great holiday. Shana, thank you so much. Everyone take care. Bye-bye.
Again.
Yeah, Shana, that was fun.